Hey everyone, this is Lindsay Krieger, Director at Inflect Health, the innovation hub of Ituity, where we strive to be a catalyst for better care. I'm thrilled to be hosting Four Startups by Physicians, where we share insights and guidance to healthcare startups and technologists looking to create the future of health. As a physician-founded firm, we have connections with clinicians and intimate knowledge of what they need and how they work. We will be interviewing our executives, frontline providers, and industry leaders to help your business be effective and scale. Thanks for joining, and let's get going. Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us. I'm once again joined by Inflect Health President Andrew Smith, and today we are sitting down with Nenea Reeves, CEO and founder of Trip, a category-leading global XR wellness company. In this episode, we talk about how a focus on the power of personal loss can ignite change and what we believe mental health care can transform into. We will discuss creative solutions both inside traditional healthcare as well as in the comfort of your own home. Rooted in this conversation, you will hear how important it is to have a founding team that is united in their shared vision. Nenea is an inspired founder and CEO. She brings a tremendous amount of experience from the gaming world and is a brilliantly accomplished leader. Trip has been broadly recognized as a hot startup to watch, and we are honored to be joined by Nenea. Andrew Smith is president of Inflect Health, as well as the chief operations and innovation officer at Vituity. He's responsible for driving innovative businesses that disrupt the status quo and transform the healthcare construct. In addition to spearheading our investment program, partnerships and strategies, he also serves as a board member for the Vituity Cares Foundation, which is the philanthropic arm of our enterprise. Nenea, let's kick this off and just get right to it. Tell us about Trip, what it is, and how it works.
Well, Trip is the largest XR mindfulness application. We're actually now cross-platform. We're currently available on the Oculus headset or Meta Quest headset, PlayStation VR, and the HTC Vive Flow. We're starting to expand into augmented reality. And what Trip does is it's an experience that allows you to feel calm, feel focused, as opposed to the way that a lot of mindfulness apps work on mobile, where audio is guiding you. With VR, we can do a lot of the work for you and bring your awareness present. We use sound frequencies, gameplay mechanics, and everything's architected to produce specific feelings in the user who's experiencing it.
That sounds amazing. I know you've had such a storied career. Tell us a little bit about how you got interested in this field and what really drove you to create Trip.
Well, it's actually been a very organic journey for me. I had found, you know, when I was younger, that turning to video games and even technology was a way for me to feel more in control of the world around me. And I think a lot of the narratives around playing video games focus on the violence and some of the negative aspects of it. And everyone should have some concerns, and especially parents should know what their kids are doing in video games. But for me, I found a lot of benefits from it. That one, it just gave me a natural interest in technology as a young female, which I think is really important. Secondarily, being in video games where I was building worlds and being a hero, resource management, I think it gave me a sense of myself as a builder and a maker. And just psychologically, too, it was a world I could retreat into. And when I was very young, I experienced a lot of mental health challenges as a child. My parents struggled with drug addiction. And as a result, my sisters and I went through a lot of negative experiences and a lot of neglect. There were some benefits to that, though, when you look at things longer term. I found a lot of internal strength. I developed a mind that really had to figure a lot of things out. But by my teenage years, I was completely overwhelmed by what was happening. And I ended up in psychiatric treatment, and it was then that I was gifted the meditation practice that I have evolved over many years. And at that time, I was really embarrassed to tell anyone that I meditated. It wasn't like it is today, where the stigma around addressing mental health issues has shifted. But it was really those two things, I think, turned my life into a productive, allowed me to change the decisions I was making on a day-to-day basis to be more supportive and positive. The idea for Trip really came through a long career in the video game industry. I experienced a good amount of success. And then there was this point where I thought, what do I want to build? What is my idea I want to bring forth? And it was to take these gameplay mechanics that had helped me so much, combined with a meditation practice, and bring that into the immersion of VR, which really multiplied that retreat or that respite effect that I had always experienced with technology and application interfacing.
Yeah, that's so fantastic. And thank you for sharing your story. One thing that's very important to us at Inflect, and part of the reason why we're creating this podcast, is because all of us believe strongly in founders that have a story and that have lived experiences and are passionate at a level that really goes deeper than the business opportunity or the trends in healthcare. One thing I know, and that I know has been impressive about our connection, is that, Andrew, also you have so many personal stories about why you do what you do. And maybe, Andrew, just share a little bit about what you in Trip and why you were so drawn personally and professionally to this cause.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Lindsay. Thanks, Nanea. For me, growing up, my father suffered from mental health disorder mixed with substance abuse. And at some point, that was too much for him to handle and ended up taking his life when I was 7 years old. And so my mom, obviously very traumatic life experience, was like, well, I want to be a nurse and I want to help take care of people and I want to make it my life's work to give to others. And that was instilled in me and every job I've had in the hospital since I basically was born. I never left the hospital. But the idea that people aren't getting access to the care that they need or different types of therapy or really anything to help them consider and think about their mental health and where they're headed. And so what really gets me excited about Trip is when you've got a bunch of kids and gamers and adults online and saying, hey, I want to get better and I want to try this Trip thing. Let me go experience this. That's amazing because we're not cramming it on them. We're not shoving it on them. It's not a parent signing you up for therapy. It's like someone in their own space, in their own comfort, actually trying to get healthier. And immediately when I learned about Trip, I was on fire about it. And I think the idea that kids and adults and people are going to go seek out their own way to get healthier and feel better every day is really what set me off with Trip.
Thank you. We connected right away on that mission. And one of the things that was important to me as I thought about how to build a company in my own way was to ensure that we were all coming from the right intention. And even then, you'll make mistakes. But that, and it's always, I think one of the things for founders, it's very hard what we're doing, taking an idea that it's just an idea and bringing it to reality. And many will fail at that attempt. And how do you keep going through failure to get that cumulative knowledge to maybe the idea changes along the way? And it is incredibly stressful and you'll encounter a lot of negativity and rejection. And how do you find that resilience from within? And one of the things I really wanted to do with Trip was to give people that sense of agency that I felt when I would go turn to video games or turn to meditation as a way to self-regulate how I was feeling in the moment for my own benefit. And then I could see ultimately I was having a ripple effect on others as well. I was a better friend, a better partner, a better employee. And so that really was the motivation. One thing I'm really proud of that you brought up, over 60, I think last I looked, it was like 63% of our audience are male. and millennial male and Gen X as well. And we're starting to get younger audience members show up. VR is still a shared device, so we tend to track ages based on the credit card given to us or the setup. But the fact that we have a predominantly male audience, I think, is really important, because men specifically still have a stigma associated with expressing emotion. And that shows up in research very clearly, shows up in longevity impact on health span when we hold feelings in. And there's been some really surprising learnings that we're starting to see on the opportunity that we have specifically to help men create this container where it's okay for them to connect to self and also open up emotionally with others.
That's such an interesting point, Nenea, because men are also very hard to reach in that 20 to 45 range for health and wellness benefits too.
Oh, right? Really?
Yeah, they're statistically the ones who, they don't go for primary care visits. They don't go for an annual checkup. Like,
they're constantly nagging them.
Yeah, go get something done. So I think that's why we see this power in innovation and technology, especially from the more traditional healthcare setting, is like, how can we meet patients where they're at and not even call them patients, but how can we call customers and people and families and bring health in a way that doesn't feel disruptive to their lives, but feels inclusive? And obviously video games is such a place. Andrew, I know you have a young son and you guys play video games together. You can imagine just the future of how you and Lave interact and how that video gaming experience can be transformed in the years to come, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, for sure. Actually, Lave has ridden a roller coaster and seen part of Trip on his So it's very cool. I think for me too, Trip doesn't fit the American healthcare construct. And that's why I love it. We built this system that you have to show up at someone's hospital door or clinic door, and then you follow these protocols. And it's really not a way to get someone really engaged in their own healthcare until it's catastrophic. And so when a startup comes and says, hey, we're going to flip this in reverse and let someone access care on their own and do that, and then actually see the results from it, I think that's incredibly inspiring.
Yeah, to be clear, we don't make any therapeutic claims just yet. We are working on collecting evidence. So Trip really is a tool to help support you, but it's not to replace professional care. And I think that these tools can emerge in ways that can be very complementary to how you take care of yourself, how you work with medical health and mental health professionals. I'm very excited about how the metaverse itself can be used in mindful ways. And I'll give you a couple of really good examples that have been really interesting to me on this topic. We found that in the Evolver community, which is now a part of Trip, we merged in January, and it's one of the largest meditation groups in virtual reality or virtual worlds. They do 40 live group meditations a week. And on the weekend versions, they'll have 150 avatars show up for these support groups, group meditations. And their most popular conversation is on death and dying, and it's led by a death doula. And I wouldn't think that would be the place I want to hang out in the metaverse. But what we're finding is that people really open up emotionally. And I think there's something to using the digital veil of an avatar and being able to be present without this sense of feeling judged by other people or being seen feeling emotion. And there's some data. Skipper Izzo has worked, he's a neuroscientist out of USC. And he has worked with veterans who suffer from PTSD using VR. And he found some data to support what we're seeing, which is veterans will be more open and expressive about some of the things they've been through with a virtual agent where they don't feel the judgment of another human being. So it doesn't replace the clinician, but it can be used as a tool to get someone to just open up with expressing difficult feelings and emotions, and then from there treatment might actually be able to build upon that. So I think it's very interesting how we can create these mental health and supportive environments and communities.
It is so interesting. And one thing I think about is that a lot of these podcasts, we're talking about advice that physicians can bring to technologists. But so much of TRIP and what we're working on together is really almost the reverse, which is how do we talk to clinicians about this new age, about this evolving opportunity to provide care in a different way? And many, many, many clinicians outside of those that work in some of the upper echelon academic institutes are going to be people that are like, the meta, what? The who? No, like I have to touch my patient. I have to feel my patient. And this is this work that we want to do together, right? It's like transforming what we think of as care and how to convince some clinicians and some hospitals and clinics how to use the metaverse and how to use this digital first experience towards health. Andrew, I know you wrote a piece about that, and just curious if you'd share a little bit of thoughts, like how do we go about doing that together? How do we go about working through the challenges of traditional healthcare to get to a place where we can bring a more innovative solution forward, a more open solution forward?
Yeah, if I think about all of the people that are suffering in an emergency department right now that are in crisis or having a deep anxiety or depression, they end up in an ER, they get over-medicated, they get restrained, mostly because we don't understand everything that's going on with the patient. It's a busy place and we don't take the time. Things like TRIP could be really valuable in the de-escalation of those patients. If I think about someone that's stuck on an inpatient unit for 9 days of their life and worried about where they're headed next, are they headed to a skilled nursing facility or headed home, or can they be with their family? Is their family there to help them? Money, all the things that they're worried about, I think TRIP could play a role in that. And then when I think about providers and resiliency and working in the trenches every single day through COVID, pandemics and death and the pain and suffering in the hospital, I think how can something like TRIP really change the way that they're practicing every day? And so I'm excited for the day when the American health system gets on board with a lot of these new technologies, virtual reality, meta, all of it, so we can unlock our brains a little bit here and de-stress so we can be our best selves.
Yeah, we're in this technology transition right now where in 2000, we actually saw the beginning of computing moving from the desk or the desktop to the hand. Mm-hmm. And all the innovation that we've seen in the last two decades around mobile computing and how that has accelerated, how it's created new tools and even new economies. When you look at the gig economy and how people can earn, even the influencer marketing, all these new things roll off of that. But now computing is moving from the hand to the head. And I think there's going to be a tremendous amount of innovation in that transition. Obviously, TRIP is already a part of that, especially in the category of wellness and mindfulness, a new way to meditate using these head-mounted displays. And I think it's going to be explosive. There will be a day where we all just have our glasses and we can experience reality in different ways, whether it's augmented with spatial sound or little overlays that help us just reminders to breathe and connect to self, or even biosignals coming in to let us know when we need to take a break and take care of ourselves or attention wandering, etc. So with that ecosystem, though, comes great responsibility because it's a closer connection. We've seen how walking around with a computer all day long, staring at it, has even shifted the way that our brains work, has affected some people's self-esteem positively and negatively. All these things we didn't really have any visibility. I know when I started working in mobile games in the year 2000, I wasn't thinking about some of the things that we've seen emerge now after 20 years of having handheld computing available. And I'm excited about the next 10 years ahead on what's going to happen, and especially how we can use this computing interface that's a little more integrated with how we're seeing the world around us and how we're seeing ourselves in the world to benefit people. There are some very dystopian concepts that can also come out of that. And so working closely with medical community, ethics community, researchers to understand the impact, good and bad, of what you're putting out into the world. These are things that are very important to us as a team, for sure.
You guys are at the forefront and leading so many of these conversations. I guess I'll just close with my last question, piggybacking off that, Nenea. What do you want mental health care to look like, specifically mental health care, and how should it play a role in all of this evolution of experiential technology?
It's a wonderful question, and it is something that I feel strongly about, that mental health should just become health. We should approach our physical and emotional well-being in the same way that we approach our physical well-being. We know that if we exercise and take the time to be thoughtful about how we're eating and interacting with others, that it has long-term effect on our health. We should be thinking about our mental and emotional well-being the same way. They're not different, and I don't think you separate them. On the clinical side, I would like to see more measurement in the same way that we, for mental states of being, and in a way that is much more quantitative, like how we have physical biomarkers. The development of biomarkers specific to mental health, I think, are really important. I know there's some work on that. Digital therapeutics can play an important part in that. And I think all of that will allow us to, again, have that ability to understand how we're being affected moment to moment in ways where we can adjust and respond in real time in ways that support us.
Very well said. Andrew, add on, what do you think the next 5 years look like for mental health, and how can technology and clinical teams come together to create that future?
For me, it's empowering the person themselves to improve their health. And I feel like I'm on my soapbox about this, but whatever it's going to take to walk through the virtual door or the physical door to get healthier, get the mental health treatment you need, that's what we need to focus on. And I think TRIP offers an extremely unique pathway to, and like Nenea mentioned, like maybe I'm not willing to see a therapist, but I might be willing to try TRIP. And then I might say, hey, I want to go to the next level, and I'm going to call my primary care doctor, and I'm going to call my therapist. I'm going to go get seen. I want to live a healthier life. Or even the anxiety we feel at home, like maybe that gets too much and I'm willing to try new outlets. And I think the technology potential is like we can't even fathom what it could do for us in 5 years if people really get engaged in their own mental health and treatment. And I think TRIP is just the beginning of opening this wild door that we could see it 5 years from now.
Well, and thank you so much for supporting our company, to both of you. It has been a joy to work on, and the feedback we get from users, it has been amazing, especially during the last 24 months and the pandemic, where we really found our true mission as a company. It was very clear that we were already making a difference, but I still feel it's at about 15 to 20% of the vision I have in my head. And I'm excited to stay mentally and physically healthy to deliver on that mission. And I just want to thank you and Inflect Health for supporting TRIP.
Well, thank you for being here, and thank you for being a visionary, both of you, and sharing your stories and being so real about this opportunity. We look forward to a really successful future together and supporting you. Thanks for joining us. And again, I'm Lindsay Krieger, Director at Inflect Health. Here at Inflect, the future of medicine, care, and health delivery is not just ripe for disruption, it's increasingly personalized, accessible, and human. Make sure you like and subscribe to For Startups by Physicians wherever you get your podcasts. And keep up with us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Medium at Inflect Health, and on the web at inflecthealth.com.